We're going to be reading from the Bible now. We're going to read Romans 6, 19 to 23. And that's on page 915 in the Red Pew Bibles. Before I read, I'll pray. Dear Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that once again we can meet here together as your people, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for your word. We thank you that we can open it freely here in this country. We pray that as your word is spoken to us by Graham later on, that, Lord, we would be open to hearing your word and living up to your word and praising you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Verse 19. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Well, please open up your Bibles to Romans 6. We'll be coming into that passage a little bit later. I must apologise for my voice. Hopefully it will last. It may well get more serious as the time goes on, as it gets lower and more gravelly, but there you go, we'll see. And let's just bow our heads and pray with God's word open. Ask him to help us. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we just pray now for your powerful presence among us. We want to hear you speak to us. We need strength. We need light. We need life. We need grace and mercy. Help us to see that as clearly as possible as we seek in these times together to get as clear as we can about what has happened with this cross on which the Lord Jesus died. What does it mean? How does it change us? What does it offer to us? Please help us to see your glory and to know your grace. Amen. Well, I'm free. You're free. We live in a free country, don't we? Apparently, anyway. But what does freedom mean? And how free is the freedom that I think I have? Freddie Mercury famously sang, didn't he, "I want to break free," voicing something of captivity or bondage to something. Many other people could say the same, could voice that very same sentiment. Freedom is defined a few ways. Here are the three main ones. Freedom is the power or the right to act, speak, or think as one wants. Yeah? Freedom is the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. Freedom is the state of not being subject to or affected by something. And all of those three can overlay and interweave with each other, can't they? I can't act as I want to if I am captive or enslaved or subject to someone or something. And so I think those definitions probably do express the sort of things we think about freedom and how we feel about freedom. But they also drive us inevitably towards a huge problem that we don't necessarily think about quite as much, even if we do live in the light of it. That the freedom we think we enjoy is not quite as free as we might like to think it is. That the freedom we think we enjoy is not quite as free as we might like to think it is. That is to say, there is a sort of a fairy tale type of freedom that we can have in our minds, where I live in my own universe, I deny myself nothing, and I can express myself in any way that I choose. Truly free. Absolutely free. There's this sort of fairy tale kind of freedom. And then there is actual freedom, which is different. Here's how it works out. As an individual, I might well acknowledge that I feel perfectly free to think, say, and do anything that I want to do. But I don't do that. Why don't I do that? There's two reasons I can give. There's probably more. First reason why I don't do that is because of other people. I impact, and I myself am impacted by other people around me. I need to take account of them. And then secondly, the consequences of my actions. Because the consequences of acting perfectly freely, doing whatever I want, they can actually be that I lose my freedom. My freedom is taken away. So that too is why I don't actually act with that absolute freedom. So any freedom that we think we have is already actually a qualified freedom. Think about the freedoms that all Australians are entitled to. Do you know them? Apparently there's five. But here's how they're expressed. Freedom of speech. Australians, they all seem to start like this. Australians are free. It's wonderful. And then, within the bounds of the law. Free to write and say what we think privately or publicly about the government or about any topic. The intention must be constructive, though, not to do harm. Freedom of speech is not an excuse to harm others. Freedom, but it's qualified. Freedom of association. We are free to join any organisation or group if it is legal. And so on. What we discover is that our ideas of freedom must and do also include an idea of binding ourselves to certain things, usually laws, has to involve that. To remain free, we've got to avoid doing those things or crossing those lines which will lead to us losing our freedom. So either we're not as free as we thought, perhaps, or some of our ideas of true freedom may have more to do with a sort of a fairy tale than with everyday life. But I've said a few things about freedom there. I want to go much further. And I actually want to say straight up that we are not free at all. And furthermore, I want to show you that every one of us, and indeed everyone else ever, is so unfree that the best way to think about their lack of freedom is the idea of being a slave. Is slavery. Stick with me. Let's go on a journey. So I want to spend some time to show, firstly, that all of us are slaves but we struggle to see it. First point. All of us are slaves, but we struggle to see it. Slavery is all about control. I think we can tend to quickly think of it as the opposite of freedom. But it's not quite, as we'll see later. As a slave, though, you do not have freedom because someone or something else controls what you do, controls why you do it, controls how you do it, controls when you do it, and so on. And so I've got a few props here. This is desires to get some really clear ideas. I've got this. Here we go. It's a remote-controlled car. We've got a controller, and we've got a slave. Here's how it works. Controller, forward, back, left, right. There we go. That's how it works. Take my word for it, it's working well. What happens here determines how that goes. Yeah? The car is a slave to the controller. It has to do what the controller commands. And so if the controller then says, drive over the edge, didn't have a choice. I didn't hear the car say, no, stop. It's pretty cheap. It's not going to have safety devices in. But you see how that works. This said go over the edge. That had to go over the edge. Okay, here's another controller. This is even more high tech. Look at this. Whoa. Apple would love to know who designed this. Look at it. It's got a big red button. What's this controller? This slick thing. Well, this is actually the control for me. Okay? This is the control for me. What happens here happens here in me. Whatever these buttons mean. The controller is the control. I am the slave. Wouldn't you love to have this controller right now? Who would like to have this controller now? Ooh. Mute. That'll just happen naturally today anyway. Fast forward. Yeah? Change the channel. And if you're feeling lucky, big red button. What could possibly go wrong? This is how we can begin to see how enslaved we all are. All right, I want us to focus in here. If this is the control and I am the slave, the question is, who has this controller? Who's actually got it? I like to think I've got it. Naturally, I'm in control of myself. I think you probably think the same way. I like to think that I'm in control of me, and what I like to think about that is that I'm free. I can do what I want. I can choose anything because I've got the control. The reality, though, is that I'm a slave still to what controls me. I am the slave, and my selfishness is actually the slavery, isn't it? Do you see that? My selfishness is the slavery that I'm in. My self-interest, my tendency to think about me, myself, and I first, to make sure I'm okay, to do things and decide things based on how it's going to impact me, firstly. I'm the slave, selfishness is the slavery, and that is also why we struggle to see that we are enslaved. Big revelation coming here. I find it incredibly easy to act in my own self-interest. Don't you? And because we do that, we find it very easy to decide what to do or say or even think on the basis of what is best, most comfortable, most enjoyable, and most beneficial to who? To me. According to what I've decided is beneficial, enjoyable, and comfortable. It's selfishness, it's self-interest, and when I'm trying to satisfy that self-interest, it's going to feel quite good. I'm doing what I want. I'm getting what I want. I'm pursuing what I want. And it's even better if I can limit the consequences and not impact others. I'm not hurting anyone. You know, this has got a mode on it, low impact mode. I'll do whatever I like. Just a low enough level to be under the radar. It's got also a hostile dictator mode. That's probably the big red button. But I just live my life holding my controller, imagining myself to be free, but unable to say no. I'm unable to say no to what I want. Because I'm controlled by my own selfishness. The early church leader, Paul, gives us the picture in the Bible passage we read earlier. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. Have a look at that. I think it might be up on the screen as well. It says this, "When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death." You were slaves to sin. Selfishness, self-interest, free from the control of something else. Free from the control of righteousness. How's that going for you? Well, Paul tells us how that will go for us. It ends in death. That's where it's going to go. It ends in death. So what the Bible calls sin, we can readily understand, I think, as selfishness, self-interest, me in charge, me in control, no one else in control, me in control, me listening to me deciding what happens. Anything and, in fact, everything I do is at my own say-so. Because I'm holding this. It feels like freedom. Can you see it's actually slavery? And it's powerful because we struggle to see it. We also see something else though in Romans 6, second point, is that Jesus, Jesus paid the price to set us free. So Romans chapter 6, verse 22. "But now that you have been set free from sin." And verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We're set free from this slavery to sin. And the picture that Paul uses here in Romans of slavery was very harsh. Very harsh situation indeed. Slave markets were horrific places. Awful places. A slave had no rights at all. No standing at all. No opportunities at all. Was totally at the mercy of those who had any power and means to buy them. Among the reasons why people had become slaves in the first place was perhaps some sort of debt that they were unable to pay. We can't pay this debt. We'll have to give ourselves as slaves. And so they find themselves and their families and everything they have disappearing and going into this world of slavery. All their privilege gone, all their rights gone, handed over to a master. and potential masters would come and they'd select the slaves that they want and buy them. They'd buy them for their service. They'd buy them usually in order to be to exploit them in all sorts of ways. That would be their pay. That would be what they earn. They don't get a wage. They get a living death. Powerless. Entirely under the control of their master. The thing that no one ever did was go down to the slave market, pay the price for the slave, and then set them free. That just didn't happen. Now, this is the third of our talks on the cross of Jesus Christ, finding out what it is that God has done for us lately. Has he done anything? Well, he has, as we've seen. And what we have today is that Jesus paid the price to set us free from slavery. Slavery to our own sin, our own sinful nature. And he did that on the cross. To pay a debt that each of us owe, but which none of us can pay. And every single thing you or I decide to do while we're holding on to this controller, it costs. It cranks up a debt that needs paying. That may be a surprise to you. You may think yourself to be free of debt. Maybe it's a bit like if your credit card details have been scanned without your knowledge, you know, and you go around living your life, buying your things, you know the things to expect on your next statement. You get the statement and you find out, whoa, I didn't realize all that was on there. What's going on here? And someone's cranked it up. The bill is now huge. Well, our debt grows every time we grab this controller, not just because of the things that we think should go on that list of debts, the things we can, that was a bit dodgy. I think that's probably on there. I'm probably going to have to pay for that. But heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps of other things that we haven't thought about. Even the good things. Why the good things? Well, because whilst they look good, they weren't done while I had this out of love for God at all. They were done only because I decided, only because I at the time was holding that control and decided to do it. And it just happens that on this occasion, this decision looks okay. This is good, as I judge that to be. But it isn't really okay. And what shows that very clearly is when I then talk about those things as if they are a reason that God should be pleased with me. As if it got rid of the bad stuff. Good, as God decides it, is what should happen all the time. It is the expectation. And so, even with my good things, this debt gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I want to try and illustrate that. So imagine this high-tech remote control has a printout function. Oh, well, would you look at that? It does. Look at this. There you go. There's a printout. And on there are lines and lines of things. The debts. The debts. The debts. The debts. Here we go. Now it's crepe paper. Imagine every wrinkle is a line of debt. I'll just... open it up. Here's what it's going to print out. Well, I'm going to try something here. All right, chuck it on. Keep it going. Big chuck mark. That's it. Chuck it. There it goes. It just keeps going and going. The print is going. Jugga, 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 jugga. Dodgy stuff, dodgy stuff, dodgy stuff. Good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. Proud, 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 proud. Stubborn, 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 stubborn. Everything. It's on there. And it just keeps on going. Printing, printing, printing. This is about 68 feet of printing. Right? All of it. Debt, debt, debt. Building up, building up, building up. Still going. And that was 1 week. The scale of this debt is astonishing. It's the most humongous bill you'll ever see. It just goes on and on. And the smallest, tiny part of it is still too much for me to pay. Thank God for Jesus. Look at this scripture, 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. I think it's up on the screen. For you know, I hope you do, and you do now, it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold. How are we going to pay this debt? We need money. Money's not going to do it. Not perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, which means bought or paid for. Redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. But here's what paid for it. The precious blood of Christ. Jesus has redeemed us, not by paying money, but by paying with his life. And the cross tells us that the debt is paid. You know, like in a restaurant, you go, you got the bill, it gets paid, what happens next? Some places still do this. It goes on the spike. Paid. Done. Here's what's happened. We're not in the restaurant, we're at the cross, and this is my debt. It gets smashed into Jesus on the cross. All of it. Smashed into his body. He becomes the target for God's wrath. He pays the price for our sin. Done. Paid for. By Jesus' life. Given in death, his precious blood, we couldn't pay. We deserve what Jesus got. Jesus didn't deserve it, but he paid it. Isn't that great? To set us free from slavery to sin. Now, financial debt is a big thing. It's getting bigger. It's not going to go away anytime soon. It drives people to desperate measures, doesn't it? There's this sort of big weight and burden pressing down on people. And they're struggling and they're thrashing around trying to sort it out. And when that's taken away, when someone comes along and pays that debt and it's removed, their whole life looks totally different. Free from financial debt, cool. You're free from this debt. What about this debt? The guilt. The fear of the future. The fear of death. The fear of after death. The fear of eternity. What happens then? All of that hanging over us. But if that's taken away, can you see how that changes our life? Gives us hope. Gives us joy. Gives us peace. Jesus paid the price to set us free. And how do we know we've been set free? If you remember with the car and the controller, the problem with being a slave is you can't say no. But here's the impact of Jesus setting us free. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God, that is his undeserved love towards us, has appeared, that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to do what? Say no. we can say no. No to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us, to pay the price for us, to buy us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And so we also discover that Jesus not only paid the price, but he did it to make us his. And that's why our final point is this. Number three, true freedom means slavery to Jesus. I want you to get excited about that. So you're going to have to stick with me, I think. Imagine the slave market again. The slave is there. They're living this living death. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They hear all the stories. They've maybe had their own experience. They're dreading it. There's no ability to provide or care for their spouses or children. They're all caught up in this awful thing. They'll probably go other places and awful things happen to them. And then this astonishing kindness comes into their life that they had no expectation of. And it transforms their situation in the payment of this debt. It's gone. You're free. Now, what would you be saying in that situation? I think I'd be saying, hold it. Who? Who did that? Who did that? Who are they? Why would they do that? Can this be true? I want to know more. I want to follow them. That is astonishing. I think I'd do that. Would you? And this master says, not only are you free, but I want you to be with me forever. It's a massive gift. It's the gift of God, which is eternal life. People who come to understand what Jesus has done for them do this. They see what he's done. They understand what he's done. And then they put this thing here that they're usually clutching onto. They do this. And they put it down here. At the foot of the cross. Do you see what they're doing when they do that? They're not doing it out of coercion. No one's compelling them to do that. They're not doing it because they have to. They're doing it freely, if you like. They're doing it out of love because they want to. Romans 6, verse 22. Now you have been set free from sin. What have you become? And have become slaves of God. Oh, I don't like the sound of that. Well, keep reading. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. If you need the reminder, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So slavery to sin is slavery that we desperately need saving from. All of us. But slavery to Christ is freedom. That's our big idea this morning. Slavery to sin is slavery, but slavery to Christ is freedom. And so I come back to our big question, how free is my freedom? How free is your freedom? How free is it? Well, it depends on who's got the controller. Where's the controller? From what we've seen this morning, whoever we are, none of us are actually free at all. We're either slaves to sin on the one hand, thinking we're free, our own selfishness, this illusion of freedom, as we cling on to this controller, as we won't let it go for anything. You won't get this out of my hands. I'm keeping hold of this. But actually, we're unable to say no to whatever we decide. That's one side. We're slaves to sin, or we can be slaves to God through Jesus. We give the control to Him. We hand it over. We let it go. Because of what He's done on the cross. And we go for freedom. Because now, because of Him, and because He's got that, I can say no. That is freedom. And so really the question needs changing, doesn't it? Not how free is my freedom, but really, is the freedom I think I have actually good or bad for me? That's how it changes. Is it good or bad for me? I think I'm free because I've got the controller, or because Jesus has got the controller. Is it good or is it bad for me? Maybe this is all new to you. This sin stuff and Jesus stuff and cross stuff and what's happened stuff sounds all a bit too good to be true. But think it through, please. How does your life actually work out? Are you still clinging on to control? And how's that actually going for you? Where will it take you ultimately? Wake up to the reality that what seems to you to be freedom is actually slavery. And horrific slavery, because you're in danger of not seeing it for what it is. The debt that we cannot pay. And we don't even need to pay it. Because Jesus has paid. Why would you pay when Jesus has already paid? And if you haven't let Jesus pay, then you will be facing the consequences. And it won't be freedom. It's massive stuff, and I'd love to help you, and we as a church would love to help you explore that more. So please, come and talk. Come and ask. We can start that journey together. For many of us, this isn't new. It's old, and it's lost its sparkle. That can happen. We've grown up with this stuff. We've heard this stuff regularly at church, in our family, perhaps, through Christian schools. It's just what we've been around. And here's what we think, if we're honest at times, maybe all the time. As we look out at the world, people going around, living their lives, we can think this, that actually slavery to sin is actually freedom. It looks like freedom. And then I look in here at all these faces, and the stuff that we do, which I've long since lost my excitement for, and I think slavery to Christ is slavery. That is what we can do. Don't do that. Say no. Younger ones are particularly prone to this. But really, we only know that because you haven't got better at hiding it, like some of the older ones here. But it is a lie that the devil would love you to swallow, hook, line, and sinker. And Jesus died so that you could see that lie for what it is. The debt that we cannot pay. If you're beginning to think like that, if you've been thinking like that for a long time, here's what's happened. We've done this. This is all we've done. We've tried to do this. And we've thought, actually, my ways, my thoughts are the things that are shaping my life. And we've forgotten God's thoughts. So what we need to do is turn around, look back at the cross, and put this thing back down here. That's all we need to do. Focus on the cross, where Jesus paid our debt and you don't have to. If you want to be free, put your controller at the foot of the cross. Let's pray. Father, we are so humbled again that you would love us in this way. All we have is the most enormous debt, and you paid it. Please help us to see that as clearly as possible. Please help us to think about the lies that we're sold in this world and to put those side by side with what you have done in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, turn that light on for us so that we cannot miss it, that we surrender control to you, and in doing so, find freedom. May that be true for every single one of us here this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.